Dr. Farah Palmer was appointed as the deputy chair of NZ Rugby last month, making history as the first person to ever hold such a role within the organisation. And of course, she is a legend of New Zealand rugby, a three-time consecutive World Cup captain. She is also the chair of the New Zealand Māori Rugby Board and a senior lecturer at Massey University's School of Management, where her mahi focuses on race, gender and sport management leadership. She joins the program now. E te tākuta, Farah, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Julian. Ngā mihi nui ki a koe.
Kia ora, Hoa, and thank you very much for coming on the program. How important is it, do you think, for women's rugby and for Māori rugby to have a representative for women and for Māori, particularly the Māori representative on the Māori, from the Māori board, as the deputy chair, the first deputy chair of NZ Rugby?
Well, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? When you take on a leadership role, you do it because you want to be there to help the organisation or the people that you are there to represent and to try and improve what's happening in the rugby space. So, you know, it's lovely to think that, you know, those that see me can see me as a woman and see me as a Māori woman and say, well, you know, that's possible. And maybe that's something, if that encourages other people to go for leadership roles and to put themselves out there, then I'm happy with that. But I'm there to kind of do what I can for all of rugby, and that's an exciting role to take on.
So what are the responsibilities, Farah, of the deputy chair?
At the moment, the deputy chair is there to support the chair. So Stuart Mitchell is the chair, and he's going to do a great job, I'm sure. But, you know, the complexity of the game and the complexity of the organisation suggests that we need to start doing a little bit more job sharing. And I'm there really to support Stuart, and when he's not there, to take over as the chair.
It is in a really complex way at the moment, isn't it, Farah? You know, dealing with the impacts of COVID-19, these competitions that are happening right now, obviously, with the Super Rugby Trans-Tasman competition, the inaugural competition, the debut competition, and then everything that's going on in the world of rugby at the moment. It's a tough job. It won't be an easy job. How do you think you're going to be able to manage that?
You've got some great questions here, Julian. Yeah, it is going to be very complex, and we're in an exciting kind of transformational stage at the moment. You know, I've been on the board now for 4 years, and probably the first two were, I wouldn't say cruisy, but we were in a really good space financially. And now we've got a lot more challenges, but also a lot more opportunities. So it's getting more complex. You know, there are things going on globally. There are things that we need to consider in terms of revenue, but also at the community game, we've got to really think, what can we do to continue to make rugby something that New Zealanders hold close to their heart and want to participate in, either as a player or as a volunteer or in some kind of paid capacity. So, yeah, we've got lots of things going on, and it's getting more complex, and I'm up for the challenge.
But it's also exciting at the same time. I'm thinking specifically of the Women's Rugby World Cup that will be hosted in Aotearoa next year. And, of course, COVID played a role in delaying the rollout of the Women's World Cup. But it will happen next year in Aotearoa. What will your role be, or what do you want your role to be, particularly in the hosting responsibilities of the World Cup, given your history as a three-time captain of the Black Ferns, three-time world champions of world rugby for the women's game when you were captain, and also given the high number of Māori women who play the game at the national level and will also represent themselves in the team next year. What do you want your role to be for the hosting of the Rugby World Cup?
Oh, look, I'm really looking forward to it. I was part of the team, along with Mark Robinson, who's now our CEO, that actually bid to host the Rugby World Cup in 2021. And to tell you the truth, when we won that felt like I'd won another World Cup as a player. So it was pretty up there as one of the special moments in my life. And so now, you know, the delay has kind of been upsetting but understandable, and we're really looking forward to demonstrating to the rest of the world why New Zealand is really good at supporting and promoting the women's game, and to give our players an opportunity to play in front of their whānau. And yeah, we do have a lot of Māori and Pacifica women that play, but we're really keen to show everybody the best players in the world Be they female or male, doesn't matter. It's about demonstrating mana wahine to the whole world. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm on the Rugby World Cup committee, so I've been involved in the behind-the-scenes organising and governing of that, and we really just want to put on a show in Auckland and in Whangarei.
What's been the most difficult part of that planning exercise, aside obviously from COVID's impacts? What's been the really technically difficult parts that you've had to deal with?
I think it's about getting people, you know, a lot of people, if you talk to them, will say that they're really supportive of the women's game and they love the Black Ferns, and we're like, well, you know, can you please like come along and join in? So we want to make sure that we've got full stadiums, that we create that festival atmosphere. And I think too, it's been challenging leading up to the World Cup with COVID-19 and the lack of test matches for our Black Ferns team. So that's, you know, they're trying their best to kind of keep up that intensity. They have regular trainings and sessions together as a team, but it's just about how do we make sure that they're game fit and ready to kind of dominate the world next year. Not that I'm biased, but, you know, that's what we want. We want them to really kind of go out there and show that they're the best.
You talked about mana wahine before, particularly trying to show mana wahine in the New Zealand game and how that contributes to the New Zealand game. What does that mean, the mana wahine side of the game that you embody, actually, that you actualise in the way that you work? How does that get reflected? How does that work when you're organising World Cups or even as a part of the board?
Yeah, I think diversity and inclusion is a big thing that we focus on in New Zealand rugby. And, you know, women do contribute to rugby in many ways, you know, as players, as referees, as coaches. We've got, you know, last year was a bit of a hit to everybody, but we've still got around 16% of our players are female. And they are so passionate about the game that it's, you know, it's infectious. If you've got your mother or your auntie or your sister playing, and it just shows and demonstrates to boys and girls that men and women love this game and that we want to give back to it. So a lot of our volunteers are women as well. You know, you go to every club and there'll be a whole group of people behind the scenes really doing what they can to make sure that we can put rugby on the field and make it a hub for communities. And I think that's what mana wahine to me is it goes alongside mana tāne. And we together can work to make this game something that's welcoming and something that everybody wants to be a part of.
My sister played hooker for Wellington before you, thankfully, because you probably would have touched her up, to be honest. But she played for Wellington. She's the most successful player in our whānau, actually, including my older brother and I. And one of the things that I realised at that time, and I wonder if it's grown since then, was that you talked about support or those going along to watch the games. But when we used to go watch you play and watch now club rugby, particularly women's teams playing in club rugby, is that actually the games are a lot more exciting and dynamic than the men's stuff. In fact, you hear a lot of the fathers and brothers saying, gee, this is more interesting than the one across the way, and they're talking about the other men's club game happening on the other side of the park. Are we seeing a growth in the support and people getting out to games and watching games, both at a grassroots level but also at a national and international level?
Yeah, we are seeing growth. And, you know, you go to the, I struggle to say it out loud, the Wharepama Cup games, I call it the FPC. If you go there, you'll notice that there are more and more people watching. And I strike up a conversation with people in the crowd. And what I've noticed is that in the past, it's tended to be family and friends that go along and support those that are playing. But now I'm seeing, men probably in their 50s and 60s who are going along. They don't know any of the players personally. They just want to go and watch the game because, as you said, they really love the style that of the women's game, and they really love the festival atmosphere that goes with it. So that's really great to see, and we want to continue to grow that enthusiasm for the women's game.
You are a specialist in Māori tikanga and values, or tikanga values and leadership. And given your current role now as Deputy Chair of the NZ Rugby Board, how do you make that manifest in what you do as Deputy Chair? How do you ensure or apply or implement tikanga and Māori values in the way that NZ Rugby operates?
Kia ora, first of all, thank you for saying I'm an expert, but I would not put myself out there. I think I'm a person who believes in the value of tikanga and the value of a Māori worldview. And to me, it just feels like a no-brainer that it provides benefits. So in whatever I do, I try to consider how could we incorporate principles, values, practices that we just take for granted in a Māori context. So yes, we will be looking at what we can do, and I'm not the only Māori on the board. We've got Bailey, who's fluent in Te Reo Māori, and we've got Jennifer there as well. So I think for me, it's about how do we demonstrate that this is the community that we represent, and we've got a large portion of our players who are Māori. I think 25% in 2019 were Māori, and 16% were Pacifica. So we've got a diverse community, and we need to start to demonstrate that around the board table and lead by example. So we've started to do that, but we probably just need to formalise some things. We have karakia at special occasions. We like to mihi and make sure that everybody's feeling included. I did get the board to do a waiata once when we were trying to encourage the Black Ferns at the last World Cup. We exchange taonga. We acknowledge our guests and try to demonstrate hospitality. So I think we do some things really well from a tikanga perspective, but we could be better.
And I acknowledge that you're on a journey here. I guess one of the things that I'm thinking about is, given some of the complexities that the board is dealing with at the moment, current negotiations on deals, the way that it negotiates, or the NZRU negotiates, NZ Rugby negotiates with players, for instance, on contracts, how do you ensure that the mana of the person, or indeed the mana of any organisation that you choose to work with, like the NZ Rugby Players Association, how do you try and implement those kind of values through those processes? Because it would be notoriously difficult, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, in the past, I think we may have had a bit of a combative relationship, but we've recently just had a session with the Players Association just to say, hey, let's start afresh and let's focus on what's important. And what's important is that relationship. You know, we wouldn't be where we are today without the players. So we want to focus on how we can mend the relationship, how we can move forward together as a partnership. So we do have what we call our charter, which is the rugby way, or Te Ara Rangatira. And I think it's just about reminding people of what those elements are, which are to be welcoming. So how do we create a relationship that is with the players, that is a welcoming kind of environment, but still be passionate? You know, that's what we love about rugby, is that it does bring out everyone's passionate side. We want to play fair. So we want to, as you said, create these interactions that are mana enhancing rather than diminishing people's mana. And we want to be our best. So how can we work together to be our best?
You said you've been on for 4 years or so now, and I'm not sure what the length of term for someone to stay on the NZ Rugby Board is. Is it your goal to be chair of NZ Rugby at one stage? I mean, I know there was a vote, and I know Bailey put his hand up, and things have shaken out the way they have. Is the goal to have either yourself or a Māori as chair of NZ Rugby at some stage?
Oh, look, you know, I think that is a great aspiration to have. I deal with confidence a lot, self-confidence, so if you asked me now if I would consider to put myself forward for the chair role, I'd say no way, because I know it's a big job. And, you know, Bailey was brave and he put himself out there, so good on him. And he's got a lot longer on the board than I do. So maybe that's an opportunity for him in the future and for other board members. I've got 3 years left and I can extend it if I want to by another 2 years. But, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do at the end of this three-year term. I want to just give my best for this 3 years, and if being deputy chair is what's going to help our organisation and our rugby communities to be better, then that's the role I want to take on for now. And I've still got the Māori Rugby Board that I'm chair of, and that keeps me busy.
Dr. Palmer, thank you for your time. Congratulations on your appointment as deputy chair. We wish you all the best in the role itself. Ngā mihi nui kia koe.
Thank you.
Kia ora maida. That's Dr. Farah Palmer. She is the new deputy chair, the inaugural deputy chair of New Zealand Rugby.